Geek Radio Daily for another Anti-Friday, but that's all right. That means we get to celebrate the coming one. There's already another one on the horizon, and that is a little reason to smile if you stop and think about it. Welcome to the 17th of August. We're the fine folks from GeekRadioDaily.com. You know us from all the various places that you do. The folks who are bringing it to you today, well, the lady who's making sure everybody's set up the way they're supposed to be, no matter what they throw at her, that there's the Flintstress.
The human sister. I know this.
I know you do. Me, I'm the guy that just does it, because, you know, I'm the one for Billy Flynn.
Curse up, space ponies! I'm making gravy without the lobs!
You need a whisk for that. What happened on this fine day?
Well, back in 1833, the first steamship to cross the Atlantic entirely under its own power, the Canadian ship SS Royal William, embarks from Nova Scotia en route to the Isle of Wight.
1877, Asaph Hall discovers the moon Phobos in orbit around Mars. It took another 5 years to find the letter goddesses.
In 1891, the automobile electric self-starter is patented.
1896, Bridget Driscoll of Croydon, Surrey becomes the first pedestrian killed by a motor vehicle in Britain. While on a terrace in the grounds of Crystal Palace, London, she was knocked down by a car traveling at 4 miles an hour. She dies minutes later of head injuries.
Damn. In 1908, Phantasmagoria, the first fully animated film in history, is exhibited for the first time ever at the Théâtre des Gymnases in Paris. Created by Emile Cole, the two-minute film consists of a stick figure who encounters a variety of line drawings that transform from one figure into another, such as a wine bottle that transforms into a flower.
Oddly enough, the prelude for Cyanide and Happiness. 1911, an Italian production of Dante's Inferno becomes the first feature film with a runtime of more than an hour released in the United States.
In 1958, the first lunar probe in history, the U.S. space probe Pioneer Zero, fails when its thorable boosters rocket explodes on launch in pad 77 seconds before launch.
1962, at 8:35 GMT, NASA launches the Telstar 1 communications satellite built by AT&T Bell Laboratories from Cape Canaveral, Florida, the first orbiting international communications satellite, marking the beginning of a new age of transatlantic communication.
Same year, a song commemorating the launch of the Telstar 1, the first satellite capable of relaying transatlantic video signals, Telstar, is released by the English surf rock group The Tornadoes. It'll go on the top sales chart for 3 weeks in November.
1966, NASA launches the Pioneer 7 space probe into solar orbit.
We keep probing out there. In 1968, Dr. Anne Wang is granted a patent for a calculating apparatus for using logarithms for mathematical calculations. The component will later become fundamental to computer technology.
1970, the Russian space probe Venera 7 is launched on a mission to Venus, becoming the first spacecraft to successfully transmit data from the surface of another planet, December 15th.
1978, the first crossing of the Atlantic Ocean by balloon is completed.
1982, the world's first compact disc is manufactured by Royal Philips Electronic at the PolyGram Recording Company's factory in Langenhagen, just outside of Hanover, Germany.
How's it, Langenhagen?
Oh, so well. A little to the left.
1986, Pixar Animation Studio releases its first film, Luxo Jr., directed by John Lasseter. The title character, a small desk lamp, will become a part of the company's logo.
Oh! 1990, Warner Brothers Pictures releases the film My Blue Heaven to theaters in the U.S. In it, the game Goonies 2 is played on a Nintendo Entertainment System with the sounds from an Atari 2600 of Pac-Man issuing from it, and everyone just mocked it and laughed at it because it's the most ridiculous thing of all time. What?
Oh my god. Well, in 2000, the case of Universal City Studios versus Rio Meredith, the United States District Court for the Southern District of New York upholds the constitutionality of the Digital Millennium Copyright Act, DMCA, in the first real test of the law.
Same day, same year, Nelson Net Ratings, internet media and marketing search firm, reports that over 50% of homes, about 144 million people, have access to the interwebs.
In 2004, the U.S. Court of Appeals for the Ninth Circuit issued a partial ruling supporting Grogster and Streamcast. This appeal presents the question of whether distributors of peer-to-peer file-sharing computer network software may be held contributorily or vicariously liable for copyright infringements by users. Under the circumstances presented in the case, they concluded that the defendants were not liable for copyright infringement and affirmed the district court's partial grant of summary judgment.
If I'm responsible for people using my networks for bad stuff, I mean, I don't see how you can come to that conclusion. It's simply perplexing. 2007, Warner Brothers released the sci-fi film The Invasion, directed by Oliver Hirschbeckel, starring Nicole Kidman, Daniel Craig, and Jeremy Northam.
Hirsch is my favorite flavor.
Right. Birthdays?
Thaisa Farmiga is 26 from American Horror Story, Murder House, Bling Ring, and Mindscape.
Austin Butler is 29 from Zoe 101, switched at birth, Will in the Shannara Chronicles.
I thought that was the Shannara Chronicles. Helen McCrory is 52. That's Narcissa Malfoy from Harry Potter. She was also in Hugo, Skyfall, and Peaky Blinders.
David Conrad is 53 from Ghost Whisperer, Wedding Crashers, and Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
John Marshall Jones is 58 from Casualties of War, White Men Can't Jump, and Sergeant Bilko.
Sean Penn is 60 from Taps, Fast Times at Ridgemont High, Colors, Being John Malkovich. Dating Madonna.
Robert De Niro is 77, Taxi Driver, Raging Bull, Midnight Run, Untouchables, and lots of other stuff.
No longer with us, born this date in 1786, David Crockett, an American soldier and politician.
Davy Crockett.
King of the Wild Frontier.
1918, Evelyn Enkers, The Wolfman, Invisible Man's Revenge.
1920, Maureen O'Hara from the 1939 Hunchback of Notre Dame, Miracle on 34th Street, and The Quiet Man.
Born in 1930, Harv Bennett, screenwriter for Star Trek, $6 Million Man, and Bionic Woman.
1933, Glenn Corbett, Zefram Cockrum in Star Trek, the original series, and Lincoln on Route 66.
Born in 1951, Richard Hunt, Muppeteer who performed Scooter, Statler, Janice, Beaker, and Sweetums.
1968, Andrew Koenig, Boner on Growing Pains, and was an amazing frickin' Joker in Batman, Dead End.
Well, on TV tonight, we get a rerun of The Neighborhood on CBS, a rerun of Bob Hart's Apicola, and a rerun of All Rise. And with CBS News, 2020 America Decides, the Democratic Convention.
Ooh, ABC, I think we just made history on Uranus, on a rerun of Holy Moly, a rerun of To Tell the Truth, and the Democratic National Convention, a completely different one, I'm guessing.
Sure. NBC has a rerun of American Ninja Warrior, and then an NBC News special 2020 Democratic Convention.
Well, Fox has a rerun of 911 and a rerun 911 Lone Star, and that's it.
The CW has a rerun of Who's Line, a rerun of Who's Line, and Penn's Stupid Rope Tricks on a new Penn and Teller Fool Us.
Freeform is Alice Through the Looking Glass.
Well, what's looking back? AMC, The Fast and the Furious.
Bravo, Captain Sandy struggles to make a tough decision that has put Hannah's back against the wall in a new Below Deck.
Not in a good way. FX, Hotel Transylvania 3, Summer Vacation.
FXX, Simpsons Marathon, You Got Your Monkey Suit, The Mook, The Chef, The Wife, and Her Homer, and Treehouse of Horror XVII.
On Paramount, there'll be your Huckleberry and Tombstone.
Sundance is showing Lost Boys, so good stuff tonight.
Sci-fi has Underworld, Blood Wars. We have no idea which one that is.
Maybe not the best of them. TBS, Steve encourages Stan to organize a party. Haley decides to remove her husband as she ventures into the business world on a new American Dad. Oh, those kids have grown so
or
much.
Or even her headband. TNT, Solo, A Star Wars Story.
True TV, Hot Tub Time Machine.
Science and New Alien Encounters.
VH1, Johnny tries to get back on track with client Lonnie Love on a new Love Listings. And tonight, though, we're watching the Hallmark Channel. An aspiring chef in Portland attempts to do a food truck competition, but while she works to become the champion, the competition tries to win her heart.
Oh.
Natalie Hall, Michael Rady, and Michael Carl Richard star in You're Baking Me Crazy.
The wonderful Billy Flynn looks at what Chad and Abby are up to now. If you know what TV show they're on this week, you could win yourself a prize. It's your Further Adventures of Chad and Abby update. Madeline has been in show business for some time now, and she's always enjoyed success, but times have changed, and her show's in trouble, so she hires Abby to jump her bike over 20 showgirls. Not the movie, and I believe in her, because, you know, she had an issue at the New Year's Evil show at Full Moon High, but she nailed this jump during amateur night at the Dixie Bar and Grill. Hashtag Chabby. Forever.
Looks like you've got mail waiting.
Well, we really just have like a bunch of incredibly correct answers because last week is the most correct answers we've ever had for a Chad and Abby segment. I told you it was a softball. I guess it kind of was. But yes, last week.
We're so glad you played.
Mad About You is absolutely where the gang was. And so congratulations to everyone, especially Steven, who went, come on, man. Are you kidding me? Why don't you just tell me the name of the show and have me guess the five most esoteric guest stars they ever had? Fair enough. That
go
would
ahead
be
and
tremendous.
Do it.
Make it happen. Well, why don't you try that? Drop us note. It's podcast@geekradiodaily.com. Of course, you can tell us things by voice or text if you use the numbers.
510-GRD-CROW.
And I've so made up for it this week and the next week. Oh my God.
The Flash Pulp Podcast. 3 to 10 minutes of fiction brought to you thrice weekly. Now it's 3 apocalypses in one.
Yay!
Suffering from tough, stuck-on humans? Well, 20 hellish hours of suffocation in the all-encompassing web of Carwick the Spider-God will get them right out. Too many brains lying around? The ravenous mouths surrounding zombie-fighting Ruby will quickly clean those up. Nosy neighbors, infect them with the murder plague, and watch as they dissolve into paranoid maniacs bent on the preemptive assassination of their friends and family. Why stop at one end of the world when you can have all three? You can find them all at flashpulp.com or search for them on iTunes.
Hey, this is Brian O'Halloran, and you're listening to Geek Radio Daily. Why? Because I don't know. I'm not even supposed to be here today. Are we done with this drop?
I mean, we can be. You don't have to get all serious on me, man. I'm doing my best.
Okay. Do your all.
Warriors, unsheath your weapons. Magic wielders, raise your wands.
Let me check my polyhedral dice. Turns out I have frost giant strength. Look it up.
Oh, yeah. You know, if you might have missed Jackbox, and thanks for everyone who came out. And, you know, don't forget there's going to be poker this weekend. But there's other times you're playing games, and there's all kinds of games available. Drive-thru RPG, including...
The village of Dunnerton has been attacked, and the people are in need of help. Only brave adventurers can overcome the dangers of a fallen keep and recover a healing relic to save the people. But monsters and traps might not be the only obstacles the heroes will face. An ancient plague was responsible for the keep's demise, and many believe it still festers in the ruins of Thornburg Keep. The Vemora 1008 from Basement Games.
The bombs fell. Nations wielded various and monstrous weapons against one another. Fires, clouds of poison, and worse have swept the world. Now, only the savage wastes remain, haunted by mutants, deranged robots, and G-engineered monstrosities. But from the fire, heroes and villains rise, tribals, survivors, mutants, all the warped remnants of humanity. Armed with primitive weapons, pre-collapse artifacts, and afflicted by strange mutations, they set forth to conquer the waste, or at least to survive them. By spear and laser, they shall prevail or die a horrible death. Grab this lighthearted role-playing game where players assume the roles of survivors exploring a sci-fantasy post-apocalyptic world, and all you're going to need is the booklet, few six-sided die, writing supplies, your wild, mutated imagination. It's Cepheus Adam from Stella Game Publishing.
Well, how about a pay-what-you-want one-page RPG, which means it's an entire set of rules to play role-playing games written in a single page. It can be played in any setting or scenario, generic, and is heavily built upon the principles of collaborative world-building and little to none difficulty for the storyteller, since all of the difficulties and descriptions are made up on the spot by everyone at the table. So to play this game, you'll need a pair of six-sided dice, D6, a player to tell the story, the game master, GM, and 2 to 5 players to play the roles of the main characters. It's called All-in-One, a one-page RPG from Target Roll.
The Clay Shelf is a free setting or adventure site for info into the odd electric bastion land set in the deep country far from Bastion. Set years after the catastrophic collapse of the Pressa Dam, which flooded new and ancient cities alike, the formerly glittering city of Indigo plays host to nefarious industrialists and prospectors. Something powerful lies hidden there in plain sight. Flat bandits roam the plains infused with a resource from a mysterious alliance. They got spies everywhere, though their activities haven't gone unnoticed. Mm-hmm. The justice women try to keep the peace even as their numbers dwindle. Within the husk of an enormous beetle, refugees from the flood have banded together with a few remaining native Idar people to form something new. And bastion machineries are disappearing from the underground and then popping up as slave miners in the shelf. Something awful has laid waste to the northern town of Black Spot. Slowly and surely, it's moving south, leaving carnage in its wake. It's all waiting for you right there. On the Clay Shelf.
I'm not wearing any pants. Film at 11.
Geek News!
Take a look at the world from a geeky point of view. Last week, we watched drama unfold as numerous layoffs happened at Warner Media and its DC Comics division, not to mention the launch and ever-increasing emphasis on the importance of HBO Max. A potential end or major overhaul of the DC Universe service appears to be coming.
So you're saying DC Universe is facing a... crisis?
Jim Lee gave a lengthy new interview where he confirmed all original scripted series content from DC Universe is going to HBO Max soon. The comics library fan community remaining to be transformed with these relaunch plans, announcing soon.
The universe is shrinking.
The original content that is on DCU is migrated to HBO Max. Truthfully, that's the best platform for the content. The amount of content you can get, not just DC, but generally from Warner Media, it's huge and it's best value proposition. I'm allowed to use that marketing term. We feel this is the place for that.
Well, it's like they finally realized they own movies and TV properties and have, you know, an entertainment division as well.
Well, if they would have realized what they were doing in the first place, they wouldn't be DC.
True. Speaking of streaming, Peacock is reportedly developing a TV series reboot of Amy Heckerling's iconic 1995 comedy, Clueless. This one to be centered on Stacey Dash's character of Dion.
Oh my god, I am totally bugging.
The untitled comedy series is described as a baby pink and bisexual blue-tinted tiny sunglass-wearing oat milk latte and Adderall-fueled look at what happens when Queen Bee Cher disappears and her lifelong number two Dion steps into Cher's vacant Air Jordans.
Well, anything you could do to draw attention to your mouth is good.
Dion must now deal with the pressures of being the new most popular girl in school while also unraveling the mystery of what happened to her best friend. Jordan Renout and Gus Hickey will serve as writers and executive producers on the project for CBS Television Studios. Shouldn't be that big of a mystery. I mean, I heard that Cher was just rolling with the homies.
After recently unbanning viewers who had asked about war crimes, among other things, the U.S. Army is back on Twitch. Now, a whole lot of people are asking about war crimes.
Wait, you mean not the game War Crimes?
No, not this time. No. The Army's return to Twitch after a month-long hiatus began with a different sort of stream than the channel's usual standard game-centric fare. After a brief intro about the purpose of the U.S. Army esports team, because, you know, your tax dollars are funding an esports team, and a speech about how war crimes are heinous and are prosecuted as such, a member of the team, Chris Goran Jones, sat in front of a camera, kind of did a staring contest with the Twitch chat. They had a laundry list of facts about various U.S. war crimes and criticisms of the Army's Twitch-based recruitment efforts, which Democratic Representative Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez recently tried to introduce a measure to forbid.
Yeah, let kids do their stupid Fortnite dances in peace.
Even with a constant barrage of questions, Jones persisted for an hour and a half before finally switching over to World of Warcraft. In some cases, he responded to softball questions about things like his favorite Army installations, his time stationed in Germany, and Army ranks. He tried to laugh off jokes about his hair. Other times, he tried to correct viewers who were criticizing the Army, saying that the Army can't recruit kids because people have to be at least 17 to enlist. 17 is a child, said one person in the chat, but he went on to say that, look, people should not enlist in the Army because of video games.
Then why are you on a video gaming channel?
Good question. He at one point accused messages recounting U.S. war crimes of being automated. Some people in chat found this, and the broader implication that the chat was just trolling, insulting, which made someone ask him, hey, am I a troll or am I someone whose friend since 6 years old died on a hill which was abandoned the next day after writing letters to me about how useless what we're doing over there is since we aren't building anything, only destroying.
Medic!
Look, this is simple. As a government agency, you cannot ban the public. Either stop the not recruitment drive or realize that in your profession, sometimes you come under fire.
Well, it's been a rough year for all of us. In times like these, we need something uplifting. Something light, but something meaningful. We need heroes. Heroes. Like Darkwing Duck.
Let's get serious.
Executive producer, writer, and story editor Frank Ngone said Darkwing Duck fans will be getting a treat in the next season of DuckTales. People must have been watching it on Disney Plus because, like, Darkwing Duck is on there, right. So maybe they're getting back into it. Anyway, among the list of episodes for the new season, one of them airing October 19th is entitled Let's Get Dangerous, and it's an hour-long special.
Let's get surrealistic!
And Gones went on in his tweets to confirm that, yes, it's an hour-long special Darkwing Duck event, as he called it. Like a lot of kids who grew up in the 90s, Darkwing Duck was personally very important to him. He loved the characters before he was old enough to even realize he was incompetent, and his competence was sort of the joke. His general absence from the modern rebooted Disney slate has made me incredibly sad. His cameo appearances in the new DuckTales universe, while delightful, have not yet, slaked my thirst. An hour of the bumbling purple-clad adventure? That is something criminals should fear, and that I should get excited about.
Let's get cooperative.
No, they need to do this the right way. I say, let's get mischievous.
Have you ever wanted to wear Darth Vader's costume and maybe get on board the Death Star?
Sure, but then my parents suggested therapy.
Fair. Well, now you at least have a chance to get a 1977 Darth Vader promotional touring costume in the Prop Store auction taking place this Wednesday the 26th and Thursday the 27th. Just a few days, they will open bids on the outfit used in the promotion of 1977 Star Wars, eventually A New Hope. The Sith Lord's suit is estimated to sell between $150,000 to $250,000.
Man, therapy was a steal in comparison.
Besides Darth Vader's costume, fans will also be able to get their hands on several items of film memorabilia from the Star Wars universe. You can get a Stormtrooper helmet, a key chest piece armature from A New Hope. There will also be a Luke and Han on Tatooine puppet armature, a Duras alien mask, a Chief Uggonaut alien mask from Empire, Obi-Wan's dueling lightsaber hilt from Attack of the Clones, a Stormtrooper costume from The Mandalorian, and much, much more.
Well, losing bids will be laughed at by a salacious crumb puppet.
Fans can already register on the website to submit their online proxy bids from anywhere in the world, and they can also submit their bids by phone or in person. Keep in mind, you cannot bid in Republic credits, and, due to some past issues, there will be no disintegrations. GRD is licensed under the Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial Non-Derivative Works 963.0 license. Come check us out on Facebook and on Twitter. Stop by the website at geekradiodaily.com.
good time.
You know, Jackbox stuff, I'm crossing my streams, but Mark is probably playing again tonight, so look for everybody, because most of the people there on Friday are there. All we do is play these games. Because it's either that, or we have to go on top secret missions from the government, and so far they haven't returned calls. If you've got one, drop us a note and let us know. It's podcast@geekradiodaily.com. Send a text, send a voicemail, use the magic numbers of
510-GRD-CREW.
And we shall see you.
Well, we have nothing big and flashy to show you this week.
Blah, 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 blah. What the hell are you still doing here?
I don't know if you noticed, but the podcast was a disaster.
Good night, suckers!
Everything we know about you guys is wrong.